Have you ever felt like a nobody? In today's episode of The Wisdom Journey, Stephen delves into 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 2:5, where Paul explains why God often uses ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. The church in Corinth struggled as worldly influences crept in. Paul contrasts the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God. Stay tuned as Stephen unpacks these powerful truths in a lesson called Why God Uses Nobodies.
Back in the 19th century, an evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody gave believers a challenge as they were navigating through the ocean currents of their culture. And he said this, "A ship lives in the water, but if water gets into the ship, that ship will sink out of sight." That's good advice, isn't it? Christians who are living in the world, well, we do. But if the world gets into the church or into the believer, well, we're going to sink. Our testimony is going to disappear from sight. Well, the Apostle Paul has begun writing a letter to a church that, frankly, is sinking. A lot of water getting into this boat. There are reasons why, and we're going to discover together on our wisdom journey through 1 Corinthians what those reasons were. However, let me give you the primary reason. This is why the world is beginning to influence this church in Corinth and the church today rather than the church influencing the world. Beloved, the devil doesn't always try to attack the church or divide the church. Sometimes he just joins the church, and then he tries to influence it with worldly wisdom. What Paul is going to do here is contrast the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God and show them the difference to warn them. He writes here in verse 18, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What he's saying is that the gospel is all about the saving power of God as we accept the truth that Jesus Christ died in our place for our sins, and that through him we can have eternal life. And so we cherish the cross of Christ today. Well, back in the days of Paul, Roman citizens wouldn't even talk about crucifixion. It was actually illegal to put a Roman citizen to death by crucifixion, and that was not only the worst way to die, but it was a shameful way to die. Only the lowest types of criminals were crucified. You wouldn't have even talked about crucifixion at the dinner table back then. Well, that'd be kind of like talking about the electric chair today. So the message that a crucified man had the power to save sinners, that would have been unthinkable. Paul writes here in verse 23 that to preach Christ crucified was a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Well, the Jews couldn't imagine their Messiah dying, and especially like this. And the Gentiles mocked the idea that anybody would follow a crucified man, a Savior, dying on a cross for sinners. Well, that isn't going to appeal to anybody's pride or reputation. Centuries ago, the Scottish pastor Robert Murray McShane gave a gospel tract to a woman, and she was greatly offended. And she said to him, "Well, you must not know who I am." And he replied to her, "Madam, there is coming a day of judgment, and on that day, it will not matter who you are. The only thing that will matter is whether you belong to Jesus Christ." Well, now Paul delivers a challenge here in verse 20. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe, that is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? In other words, the supposedly wise people of the world today, they don't have anything fulfilling to offer anybody. They can't give somebody a clean conscience. They can't give anybody a forgiven heart. But here's the good news. For those who believe, we discover that Jesus, verse 24 says, is both the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, Jesus has the power to save you and forgive you and then lead you with wisdom. And by the way, you might circle this word wisdom if you have your Bible open at this moment. The word wisdom is going to show up over and over again here. See, Paul is reminding this little church in Corinth that they're not going to help anybody if they depend on their own wisdom, their own abilities. He writes rather bluntly here in verse 26, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." In other words, not many of you graduated from universities with academic honors. Paul goes on to write, "Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish, that is looked down on in the world, to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised." The word low here might be translated base in your translation. It's a word that means without family. So God is using people without any family connections, without, you know, the right kind of friends. But he's inviting them, you and me, to join his family and become his friend. And let me tell you, that isn't the wisdom of the world. The world is going to assume that a true king, well, he'll commission the noble. He'll want to have in his cabinet the wealthy. He'll want to be represented by the well-connected. And sometimes God does that. But for the most part, his wisdom is revealed through ordinary people. God uses mightily people without much might. He ordinarily chooses to use ordinary people. Evangelist Leonard Ravenhill wrote many years ago of a group of tourists visiting special places in Europe, and one day they were visiting a beautiful, picturesque village, and they happened to walk by an old man sitting on a bench. And in a rather patronizing manner, one of the tourists asked this man, "Were any great men born in your village?" And the old man replied, "Nope, just babies." Well, let me tell you, this ought to be the attitude of the believer today. We ought to think of the church as a collection of nobodies who happen to belong to somebody special, our great Savior and Lord. Through Christ alone, verse 30 says, we have righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, those are all words related to our salvation. The only truly great person you and I know is the person of Jesus Christ, who can do this for us. And that's why Paul writes here in verse 31, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Now, in the opening verses of chapter 2, verse 1, Paul applies this truth to himself. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, in these days, traveling teachers and philosophers were highly regarded in Greece and in the Roman Empire. Their rhetorical skills, their logic, they could hold people spellbound. They were the wise men of the day, the Socrates and the Platos of the world. Let me tell you, Paul isn't trying to be one of them. He's not gathering his own following. He came to preach, verse 2 says, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you don't need to depend on rhetoric or clever methods. Instead, he writes here in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Well, you might think, who's going to believe somebody like that? Well, many people did. And that's because his preaching was not a demonstration of his natural abilities. Rather, he says here in verse 4, his preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit and of his power. Why? Well, Paul tells us here in verse 5 that he wanted the Corinthians' faith, and by the way, your faith and mine today, to rest, he writes, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is a good reminder for us all today, beloved, especially those of you who are involved in vocational ministry. A powerful ministry is not the result of a powerful messenger. It's the result of your powerful message. You're not going to change anybody's life with your words or your wisdom. Just deliver the words and the wisdom of Christ, and Jesus does the rest. He alone can change a person. He alone influences a family, a church, a city, even a city like the city of Corinth, even the city like where you live and work and play. And how encouraging is this? We don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to, you know, be smart, superior, you know, straight A's. It isn't our ability that matters as much as our availability to Christ. Well, let's be available to Him today. And until we set sail again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on the Wisdom Journey. Remember, Paul teaches you that God's power shines through your weaknesses. He uses ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. It's not about your abilities, but your availability to Christ. So, stay humble and focused on God's wisdom. Stephen Davey is the president of Wisdom International. He called this lesson, Why God Uses Nobodies. Stephen is teaching through the entire Bible on this wisdom journey. As we continue in the days ahead, he'll be working through 1 Corinthians and then the rest of the Bible. All of the previous lessons from this journey are available for you to listen on demand. You'll find all of those at wisdomonline.org. When you get to our website, you'll notice two main areas. One is for this wisdom journey, and the other is for Stephen's second daily program called Wisdom for the Heart. Navigate to the Wisdom Journey section, and you'll find all of the past lessons organized by Book of the Bible. You can listen to each one or watch the video version. There's a wealth of Bible knowledge available at wisdomonline.org. Visit there today, then join us back here next time.